I'm Lauren.
I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting with Christina Lauren of the True Love Experiment. Are you ready? All right, we're so excited for this episode. We have Christina and Lauren here from Christina Lauren. We've chatted their books before. You guys know how much we love them. We've chatted with Lo in the past, and we're excited to have Christina here with us to talk about their newest book, The True Love Experiment.
Yay!
I love this one so much. And your PR.
Welcome.
Your arc for this, the package.
Oh, the box. Yeah. That was so fun.
My daughter was like, ooh, she kept opening it and then stole the pen from me. It was like, okay, it's fine, you can have it. So that was really fun. Like, what a treat to open.
Yeah, they went above and beyond with that. It had the box that opened it, it sounded like fireworks because the main character is Fizzy and there's this really cool firework pen. And yeah, it was adorable. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
I think your daughter stole that pen, didn't she, Lauren?
Yeah, pretty quick. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, yoink, that's mine.
I think the box might actually still, she's a little bit of a hoarder. So I think the box is actually still somewhere. Like, she loves to collect all these things.
Oh,
and
that's so cute.
So I think she is currently using it for something. Well, I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. That's actually so funny though, Lauren, because you're such a minimalist in the design. Like, everything is so clean and minimal. And then you have this
she's the opposite of me. She loves to like, she's so funny. So I'll give her like, you know, fun little purses or whatever if there's something I'm not using anymore. And she just stuffs everything in it. So backpacks, purses, boxes, she will save shoe boxes and she'll just put like random things in it. And you're like, this doesn't make sense.
Why?
You know what I mean? Like, to her, it's her things. So anyway, she loves the box. So, okay. So Fizzy's book, I remember when I saw you guys at RJ Julia's, and that's when you announced, and everyone was like,
yeah,
everyone loves Fizzy. And this so lived up to it. We chat spoilers here. So everyone listening to this episode, this is not going live until the book has already been out for a little bit. So we can chat spoilers. But I just loved this, Cheryl, right? Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely loved it. Yay. It was everything we wanted it to be. I love how you guys wrote about in the book that you hadn't originally planned for there to be a Fizzy book. But the response from everybody after Soulmate Equation, when we met her as a side character, was just overwhelming. And you ended up doing it. And I just think that's A, fantastic that she got a book. But B, I love that your readers kind of like pushed you a little bit to do it.
Oh yeah.
And then you like even addressed in the dedication for this book, you said like, you know, this is a love letter to your genre.
Yeah. Tell us a little about that. Like how that
from you
about
to the readers.
I mean, so Christina and I initially met writing fan fiction. And so we met online in 2009. And, you know, we met in person that summer at Comic-Con. And so I think from the get-go, we've always been very collaborative and also reader-focused because fandom is so reader-centric. Everybody who's a fanfic writer is also a reader. And that's true for authors, too. Like, we read romance just as much as we write it. And so it was really fun to have readers kind of clamoring for this character to get her own story. And we didn't have an idea for her. So we were like, look, Fizzy's very special and we wouldn't want to do the book if we couldn't do it right. And so once we had the idea, we just dove right in.
I love that. Yeah. Her character was so fantastic in the Soulmate Equation. She's just like that BFF that everyone wants if they don't already have, right? Or we all have that one BFF that's just like, and she was hilarious. Like, I just remember laughing my ass off at like little random Fizzy comments. And she, I just loved getting more of her in this book. I love her relationship with Juno in particular, right? Mm-hmm. She's like the cool aunt that like will let her, you know, I just picture her as like the one who's like, yeah, we'll totally eat like all the ice cream that I'm sending you. You know what I mean? So I have a friend like that. I just loved getting that seeing that side of her, and then also seeing how just seeing the side she brought out in Connor as well. So even just going to the concert and things like that, I don't know. I feel like Fizzy's someone that I would love to hang out with. She would bring out like the best version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, she's very different from me, but like someone I would love to hang out with.
It's funny because my husband had like a really like smart comment yesterday. And I don't know if Liz read it, but I had just replied to an email and said this, that this weekend he was like, I don't think that I've ever heard you talk about a character as much. In that when we talk about it, we're like so excited to go on Fizzy's tour, or like we don't usually say like the true love experiment when we're talking to each other, we say, you know, Fizzy's book, or mm-hmm. like the tabs in our thing say Fizzy, or yeah. You know, she just like feels so real to us.
Yeah, she does. And I mean, I can tell listeners a little bit about the book because I don't know if everybody who's listening will have read it yet. Mm-hmm. So Fizzy is sort of our joyful side character from The Soulmate Equation. Her name is Felicity Chen. She goes by Fizzy. And in the beginning of this book, she has lost her joy. She is a beloved romance author, but she hasn't written anything new in forever. And she's kind of stuck in a rut and realizes that she needs to, as much as she has written about love, she's never been in love herself. And so meanwhile, Connor Prince is this documentary filmmaker. He's a single dad. He's really happy where he is at in life, but there's no romance to speak of. So his profit-minded boss is like, you must stop doing documentaries. You must make a reality TV show. And he's like, I don't even know how to start. But he's sort of desperate to find a romantic lead. And he thinks, why not ask the queen of romance herself to be the lead in this? And so Fizzy says yes. She's like, I need to do something different. I'm really in a rut. And their production starts and it brings them in close proximity, sparks fly, and maybe she falls in love with the man behind the camera. So I think like for us, like being able to bring in all of the characters from The Soulmate Equation and bring in this like kind of really bedrock, steady, amazing hero to like love Fizzy in all of her forms, it was really fun. It was just like a really fun thing to do. And we were really intimidated at the prospect of writing Fizzy at first, but she came very naturally.
I will also say I loved, as a romance lover myself, I loved the pieces we get of her being a romance author. So her, when she was like, I'll do this, but here's my expectation. Like we need the, oh gosh, I had it.
The hero archetypes.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. You know, and it's just so like, yeah, I'll do it. But if you can find like one of these, and I love how he just takes it and rolls with it and is like, okay, here's your cinnamon roll. You know, like yeah. Here's this guy. It was super fun as a romance reader to see Connor have to kind of like get all of these guys that match all of like our beloved, you know.
I think I cackled as much as Fizzy when we found out that the vampire was a phlebotomist.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Same. I was like,
oh my gosh,
like, you know, so great. Absolutely,
exactly, perfect.
I feel like it's extra fun because obviously it's a romance book, but as a romance reader too, to kind of yeah. So
see behind the scenes a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah. There's a lot of inside nods, little Easter eggs for romance readers.
Yes. Yeah. There's that part where she runs into Isaac at the CVS. And then like, as he's leaving, she goes, as a professional writer.
Yeah.
And she's like looking at his butt. Yeah. I must say, I would absolutely verb the adjective noun out of him. Like, do you guys have placeholders like that in your book sometimes?
I mean, there's sometimes where it's like, I'll be like, Christina will fill this in, or she'll be like, Lo will name an alcohol, because Christina doesn't drink. It just makes her fall asleep. So she'll be like, Lo will put a fancy wine in here or something like that. But that
she opens whatever Lo puts it.
Yeah, yeah. Christina wrote that line. I remember she wrote that line in that scene and I was like dying. I think I texted her. I was like, that line is so funny.
Yeah, it was so good. Speaking of drinks, I often make a theme drink for the book that we're reading, but we're recording this at, you know, it's 9:13 my time. So I just have a fizzy water.
Oh, there you go.
I love that.
I know. Okay, I'm drinking water. It's still, I mean, I guess you could have a,
you know, it's afternoon for you on that coast. So you could, a mimosa was exactly what I was thinking this morning. I was like, why didn't I go get Prosecco? Yeah, but fizzy water will do.
Okay. So on that note of lines, because obviously you were writing together, this line, I laughed so hard. so hard. And then I had to say,
oh,
to my husband,
I he was laughing too.
I just want to know which of you wrote it. Last week, I considered going jogging in flip flops just to remind myself how sex
that would be a Christina line.
Oh. Laughed so hard.
Slap, 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 slap.
There were so
I
many.
I think that one made it to our page, Lauren. You it were like, did. This has to go here.
I text it to Cheryl.
Yeah, we were laughing so hard. I was like, there's so many points of this book. I was like, cry laughing. You know, like I just couldn't help it. And then the line, I thought this was a perfect way to describe Fizzy, that it's not our introduction to her, but a way that you described her in the Soulmate Equation was Fizzy was made of charisma, witchcraft, and bad judgment. Feels so accurate for the Fizzy that we knew. Mm-hmm. And then Fizzy, like, before she lost her groove.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? And she sort of...
She's still there. She's just, like, a little sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like that graduation speech when she's talking about living your life like a romance novel, et cetera, et cetera. And then has this realization at the end of it that, you know, I talk the talk, but am I walking the walk? Like I'm a romance writer who's never fallen in love, mm-hmm. but I absolutely loved that speech. Oh my gosh. Like, look at my Kindle. Like, it's like so much of it highlighted there. It was just so lovely. Like, you know, living your life like a romance novel and how everybody kind of like laughs and they're like, no, really, like, it's not just bodice ripping. It can be, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's about elevating stories of joy above stories of pain. It's about seeing yourself as the main character in a very interesting or maybe even quiet life that is entirely yours to control. And then I like how you slip in her thought that all these babies have been raised under the dreary cloud of the patriarchy, and I consider it my mission on earth to smash that with a proverbial hammer. Like, she's like, you know, bringing the wisdom to mm-hmm. these kids, and I feel like she really does it, but then at the end she's like, whoa, wait a sec.
Yeah. Am I the person to be delivering this message? Yeah. Well, the funny thing about that speech was so I wrote the opening chapter, that prologue. And literally, as I was writing that, I got an email from my former advisor, who's now the Dean of Biological Sciences at UC Irvine. And he was like, would you come and give the commencement speech for the biological sciences graduation? So last May, as we were writing that, I like delivered this speech as a romance novelist to a bunch of scientists. I'm a former scientist. And so I got to say that to people, like I got to say these things, which is like, go out there and kick some ass. Like, your life is yours to control. And these are choices you get to make. And look at the tools you've given yourself by being in school and doing these amazing things. So it was actually very cool and like kind of poignant for me to be able to like write Fizzy saying these things as a romance author. And then I also got to go say some of these things to
that's amazing
as well.
Can we watch that somewhere?
Probably.
I have the video on my phone. I don't know. It's like I look at it and I'm like, somebody should have told me to fix my hair.
Oh, you did?
I went to watch it and I was like so proud, and it was so amazing to start seeing like a couple like tweets and like DMs or, you know, tagged photos coming in that was like, Christina Lauren is giving my commencement address. And she did say those things. She said, you know, you might come to a point in your life where you're not doing the thing that you thought you were going to do, but that doesn't mean like this time is wasted. It means that all of these tools you're getting will help you do this next thing. And it was just really inspiring.
I can relate to that a little bit. I'm not doing what I went to school for. Mm-hmm. You know, and
me neither. I went to school twice and I'm not doing either of those two things.
And yeah. Neither are either of you?
No. I mean, neither of us studied literature, fiction, yeah. romance in any sort of official way. And I just think, you know, if you see your experiences, whether it's school, trips, friendships, any kind of adventures as tools in your toolbox, and you really actively think about what is the wisdom that you took from each of those things. You kind of like let yourself reflect on that at different points. I think, you know, there's nothing lost. You have all of these lives born from these experiences that you've had. And so I really do love when Fizzy gets to say that. It's such a great way to open the book, because I feel like it really shows the reader her philosophy and her outlook. And even though she herself feels like she's in a rut, she still has so much hope for these kids. It's not like she's seeing the world differently. She's just seeing her own circumstances that way.
You said it was serendipity because you were invited to speak at the same time you were writing this. So when we spoke to you about Scandalized, Lauren, where were you guys on this book? Had you...
We hadn't even started.
You hadn't even started it because I went back and listened to that episode.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the things that women love and the minimizing of romance. Mm-hmm. And you said these things that I was like, this is the true love experiment. You said the things that women find pleasure in, like sparkly things, boy bands, romance, can be seen as frivolous and less intellectual, stories of pain over stories of joy. I was like, that is...
I think you know, Christina has said this a few times since we've been talking about this book, but I mean, we never write ourselves into these books. We never have like, oh, here's a Christina Lauren conversation being plugged right in. But I think if you look at any of our characters, Jess and Fizzy most closely mirror who we are with each other and how we tease each other and how we play. And so, and also the way that Fizzy feels about her readers and the things that she loves are the way that we feel about our readers and the things we love. So I think, you know, we were able to really take a lot of our values and the things that matter to us and put them into this character. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, when Christina says we like, you know, talk about Fizzy's tour and Fizzy's book, it's because she's so much, there's so much of us in this book in that way.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you that, if you felt that writing Fizzy, since Fizzy is essentially... she does what you two do. Mm-hmm. Was it easier because you could relate more to what she does?
Yeah, I think because we felt so strongly the things that she says and how deeply she cares about her readers and wants to be able to give them this next book and knows how hard it is to write about love and joy and all of these things if your life is not in a place that feels full of those things, you know? So she is a much, much, much cooler version of us. And we would never go into a producer's office and be like, here's how it's going to happen.
Yeah. I think because she is a romance author, we hadn't planned to write her book. So like,
yeah,
we wrote her to be a side character, to be that comic relief, to be the Fizzy to Jess's sort of more like, you know, buttoned up, like, you know, protective, small life, keeping herself in this protected bubble. And Fizzy is like, let's break out of that. And so when readers were asking, when are we going to get Fizzy's book? And we hadn't had a plan to write one, right? We really had to think about, like, who is she when she is the main character? Because a side character, you don't necessarily see their vulnerabilities and their flaws and their dark moments, right? And so having to build that character out for her, we were really daunted by it, but it actually turned out to be so simple. You know, we wouldn't necessarily have made her quite so like dating, you know, all the time. And like, so like, I mean, not because romance authors aren't sex positive, because of course we are, but there is that stereotype of like romance authors are like sex crazed and like, you know, it's all we think about. And this sort of, we probably would have played Fizzy a little bit differently had we known that we would write her book. But all of that worked out fine. Like Fizzy ended up being the easiest, funnest character to write. And then the challenge surprised us, which is like, what hero could possibly deserve her?
Right. She needed a prince.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she did.
Yes, she did.
And I loved how you slipped in though with that, like in describing her, because she not is you, but does what you do. The little weird messages that you do get, like you said, about thinking that romance authors are all sex crazy, you know, putting in there like, what does your dad think of you doing this work? Like those kinds of questions come up for her. And I love that. It was like a little, like a 101 almost, like what you guys go through and even like what it's like to do a signing and how it's like super energizing, but super exhausting at the same time, like all that kind of stuff. I thought it was an excellent peek behind the curtain.
Awesome. I'm so glad.
And you did, I think you did match him well when you wrote.
I have to say, I saw somebody say something that was like, Connor Prince III, that's the like most cliche name. And I was like, that's the point.
That's the point. Yeah. He's like, he's confident. He's 6'5". He's dimpled. He's British. Like, he's all these things. He'd be like, oh my God, you're such
Right. Hot DILF, check. Right. Yeah. Accent, check.
Yeah.
Single dad, check. And for me personally, marine mammal documentarian, check. Because I used to, I used to work in marine mammal rescue. That was my previous life. So it was like, he could not, my husband is 6'5". My husband is a third.
His name
Wow.
Connor's amazing.
Yeah.
I loved one thing that really stuck out with me or stuck out for me. So I loved the co-parenting relationship between Connor and I'm going to draw a blank on her name. His ex-wife.
Nat.
That's it. Nat. I loved that so much, especially coming from a divorced family. It was so refreshing. And obviously, and we learned things were not obviously always that great, mm-hmm. but it was just so wonderful to see that they were able to move past that and truly be like BFFs, right? Like mm-hmm. Nat was rooting for him just as much as he was rooting for Nat mm-hmm. and their relationship with their daughter. I just loved that. I have to tell you, it was so refreshing to read. I felt like it really sets a great example because unfortunately we don't always see that. Again, coming from, you know, obviously everything's fine now, but coming from a divorced family and, you know, I know so many, had so many friends who were also in that same situation and it's not always the case. Sometimes it's really hard. And I just loved that they were there for each other the entire time. If something came up, oh, no big deal, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like, you know, usually it would be the opposite. So I just wanted to thank you. I just loved that. And I'm sure others did as well. It just really stuck out to me. I haven't really read that yet in all of my romance reading.
Well, because so many times the other partner, the other parent is like the bad example of like, got out of this relationship. And so things are antagonistic there, right? But like they have this partnership where they can be supportive, but then also take the piss out of each other, right? Joking about her super young boyfriend or whatever. Yeah, it was a great model. You guys obviously did that intentionally.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we will probably get some people who are like, oh, this is super unrealistic. And it's true. I mean, it's unfortunately not the norm. But I mean, one thing is, as romance authors, we know romance is aspirational, right? You write a love story that ends with a happily ever after. And part of that happily ever after is having that sort of scaffolding community that supports your future together. And you guys can live within that structure. And so, you know, one thing we wanted to make sure was clear was that work had been done, right? They had been divorced for a number of years. It wasn't easy. He had to do a lot of work on himself. Like, they both went through the ringer. But you don't see that. It's off page. And so it shows sort of the other version of the happily ever after for them, where they can still be friends and close and have this daughter together. But they don't, you know, we don't have to have the readers go through that strife with them because it's not Connor and Natalia's story, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that I think was totally intentional. And I mean, there are books where a lot of the part of the conflict and part of the plot is how to manage this other person that you were once close to. And now it's really hard. And I think those have just as much value because they show female readers like how to work through the real things in their lives. But yeah, we wanted to show that like, if you work on yourself, like therapy is good for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we are not our mistakes.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
those mistakes like make us who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a funny segue, because I actually have in my notes to ask if you guys have ever done couples therapy together, because you're like an example of a long lasting, successful partnership, right?
Ooh,
and you guys still produce work that is smart and it's funny and it's hot and it's working for you. So how does that happen? Is it a fluke, or do you guys ever have to work on that relationship, or do you work on it through your writing?
I mean, we work on it all the time. Like, you know, we met before we were writing together before we knew each other very well. So the friendship kind of grew up entwined with the partnership. So we figured out how to be friends who write together and how to write together as new friends. And now we're best friends. I mean, we talk every day, and she's like, you know, the closest person in my life other than my husband and kids. And like, you know, we definitely are each other's whole world in many ways. You know, we are each other's work life. We are each other's best friends. We're like family. But like any relationship like that, you know, it's not perfect. I mean, we are two different people who come with different circumstances and different, you know, pet peeves and whatnot, but the stuff that we argue about is never book related. But yeah, I mean, we absolutely have to work on it. We have had, you know, roadblocks. We've been writing together for like 14 years now. So,
yeah,
you know, there is definitely stuff that we've had to work through, but it's never been a question of whether we can or will. We just like figure out the way through, you know.
Love it.
I think it helps that Lo's parents were both therapists, and I was very like, ooh, feelings. And so that's something I've had to work on, is to like learn how to be vulnerable and tell her when I'm scared or worried or feeling like I'm lacking or something, you know, and be really honest in those feelings. And that's not something that just like we all inherently know how to do. And so it is a relationship that we work on. And we tell people all the time that like, this is probably the most like functional, healthy mm-hmm. relationship, because it's like it's like working with your spouse.
Right.
It really, really is. Like just this weekend, I flew to California. My husband and I flew to see her for her husband's birthday party. And I'm going to see her again this week for some concerts. And then we're going to be on tour together. Like we are together so much. So it's really important to us that we like our work relationship has to be great, but we just genuinely adore each other.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. That. We can see the support for each other too. Like when Lauren released Scandalized, like I feel like you were her biggest cheerleader, you know, we were seeing you all over the place. And obviously it's working. I mean, you guys, what, 30 books released?
20. Now, this is our 29th, but we've actually written 31, but this is our 29th book to be published. Yeah.
Wild. And also different. Like, you know, there's one part in this book where, you know, it's the discussion of whether romance is formulaic, because you always know it's, you know, that's a promise that we're going to get that happily ever after. And Connor makes a comment about how like that actually seems like it's pretty hard to write a book that's compelling when everyone already knows how it's going to end. Mm-hmm. And you do that consistently every time. And so differently, like within that very, very basic formula of a romance, we have what, like the action adventure of something wild. The young adult angst of autobiography, which I love,
Thank
by the
you.
Way.
Thank you.
The super spice in Beautiful Bastard, you know, and then this one, the love letter to romance. Like every one of your books is different, even though we know we're going to get that happily ever after.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because that's something actually we take a lot of pride in. You know, I think because readers come to authors that they know, and they go like the same way that you go to, you know, your favorite taco place for tacos, and you go to your favorite coffee shop for your latte, and you go to, you know, your juice bar for this particular mango pineapple thing that you love. Like authors can be that for readers. They can be a place where they go and you know what you're going to get. When you read Tessa Dare, you're going to get, you know, rom-com historical. When you read Tessa Bailey, you're going to get dirty talk in the bedroom. Like there are things that you're going to get when you find those authors, right? But what we want is that no matter what you get from us, it feels like a Christina Lauren book. It's joyful. It's fun. It has happily ever after. But within that, like we also want to be able to write stories that are inspiring us. And that isn't necessarily the same thing all the time. So, you know, sometimes like there are some readers who just wanted us to go back to the super spicy series. And there's some readers who read Love and Other Words and followed it up with something wilder. And we're like, what is this? You know, and and I think that the truth is like, if readers know coming in that we're going to take them on through a good story and they're going to have a good time, but that it might not be the exact same thing you just read from us, that's awesome, because we really are proud that we can write in this genre and have it look different every time.
I always joke that we're like the Cheesecake Factory of romance. There's something for everybody. What
that
do you like?
That menu just keeps going on on.
I love it. There's nothing wrong with that. I miss being able to eat cheesecake. I can't anymore. But anyway, but yeah, I agree. Every time you guys come out with a new book, it's just like, drop what I'm doing. I have several authors that are like that. Drop whatever I'm reading and immediately pick it up and read this. Like, so, and I know I'm going to laugh
That's always, Cheryl and I have chatted this before. It's almost like a palate cleanser for me and her, I think, too, right? So, you know,
in the best way.
In the best way, yes. So, for instance, like we really love some certain fantasy series, but they're very heavy in the sense of like a lot of information. You got to remember a lot. I'm constantly texting Cheryl like, okay, wait, remind me what this
world is. World building, you know? Is exhausting mentally.
The
yes.
World, yeah. Exactly. And so you finish it and yes, it was really good and you really loved it, but it is mentally exhausting because you've had a lot you have to remember. So I love books that have a fantastic story, which yours always do, make me laugh, right? You know, it's going to be the happily ever after. And it's just like this breath of fresh air, especially after reading something heavier. So I love you for that so much.
The biggest part of that is it's reliable in its quality, right? Like not palate cleanser, like a light and fluffy bite of sorbet and then you forget. But in that, like, you know, we know what we're getting to a certain extent. Like it's, like you said, like we said, it's different every time, but we know it's going to be great. Right.
Oh, so
sometimes
you
like when it's, we read a lot, right? Like I read like 2 books yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
That's insane.
Yeah. So it's, you're not always getting the greatest books, when you read so much, right? Yeah. Like some of them are great and some of them. So yeah, it's wonderful to be able to come back to you and know you're getting something good.
Yep.
And I have, you know, if friends of mine are just getting into, I feel like the Unhoneymooners, I don't know if that went viral because of TikTok or whatever it was, but I know that I think that was the first book of yours that I had read. And then I was like, ooh, I got to go through like the back catalog, a couple of my favorites. Right. And I love when that happens. So I'm like, oh, I get to go back and like, you know, just divulge and, or indulge, that's the word, into all the whole back catalog. My favorite Half Night Stand will always be like one of my faves. I love that.
Thank you.
As well as Josh and Hazel's.
Yes. I love that book.
Josh and Hazel. So one of my friends just started reading it and I was like, oh, I can't wait. I was like, Hazel is one of my favorite book characters because she's just so unapologetically herself. And like, you know what I mean? And like, I loved her mom in that book and how her mom just, you know, like you want to wear whatever, you wear whatever, you know, it was so refreshing. So for anyone listening, if you have not read any of those are like two of my favorites. And of course, Love in Other Words. I know my assistant doesn't read a lot, but that's actually one of her favorite books of all time.
Oh, yay.
So, yeah. I love that.
I'm interviewing Christina Lauren next week. She was like, oh my God, I love in Other Words. Like it's literally on the list. But there's just so many great ones. Something Wilder. I also loved In a Holidays. I'm just going back through and looking at like all the ones of that I've read. I love In a Holidays. That was
I actually found one at my local store that I had never seen heard about before. House?
Oh, the house. Yeah.
Oh, what's so that? I haven't read this one yet, but I was like, what? That doesn't even look like a Christina Lauren book.
Wow.
It's YA.
Yep, it's YA. Yeah,
okay.
Oh, it was excited to give it a go.
Oh my gosh, that was so long ago. When was that? 2014, I think.
Yeah, 15.
Probably.
Yeah, 2015
released
was The House.
Yeah, released in 15. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that's fun.
So like even after being a fan of you for so long, like obviously I was like, how did I miss this one?
We're like, surprise.
I know.
Yeah, we love that though, right? I mean, that's the best. I do have to read Beautiful Bastard. I know Cheryl absolutely.
Oh, it's so dirty.
So dirty.
I love it. So I do. I need to go back and I need to do that. Are you guys working on anything else?
We are. Well, we have. So Fizzy's book is May 16th and August 1st is the audio original sequel to The Unhoneymooners. So it's called The Honeymoon Crashers. And it is a full cast audio recording. Harry Shum Jr. plays Brody and Jessica Marie Garcia plays Amy, who's Olive's twin. And yeah, it's full cast and it's really fun. And so that one's out August 1st. You can get it anywhere audiobooks are sold. So that has been like a really exciting little secret that we got to announce recently.
Oh,
and so next year, so we're writing our 2024 book now. But in fact, we have two books coming in 2024. We just haven't announced either of them. So that news will be coming soon.
Woo-hoo. All right. We'll have to stay tuned.
Yeah. So right now we're writing a book that has been a really a beast for us. Like, we've never been through it the way that we have with this one, where we started and shelved three different versions of this book. And wow. So we're hoping that the fourth time is the charm.
We are very good at not knowing something isn't working until we do it. And then we're like,
this is not working. So, so we're working on that one. And that one has, I would tell you a little bit about it if I was sure that that's what it would end up being. Started it so many times. I'm not going to do this.
I'm going to say though, it feels very different. Other versions, we both had these feelings, this gut feeling, like, is it because we've done it too many times? Is it because we're trying to take this prompt, this idea we had, and mold it to fit? And this came in sort of like I read the first part that Lo wrote and I was like, oh my God. Okay, wait, this is different. This feels very different. And so I think that this one's going to stick.
Yep.
Ooh, second one.
Exciting.
Well, either way, we're excited to read whatever it ends up being.
and listen.
I know, I'm so excited. Yes. Oh, August.
You've never done that before, right? Like just for, because it's only coming as an audiobook.
Yeah, so we wrote it specifically to be read by a cast. So there's sections that are scripted and there are sections that are prose where you're like kind of in their heads more. And so if we were going to down the road make it into an ebook or a print or whatever, it would have to be reworked. This is really, we're really focusing on making it perfect for the audio community. So
I love that. Absolutely love that. Because I have a lot of friends who only do audio. And we just read I'm not a big audiobook listener, but I did just listen to Daisy Jones and the Six because that was a
whole
cast. It was fantastic. So that really makes me excited. I felt like it, having that full cast, just, I don't know, almost made it feel like you were listening to a movie, right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
I'm excited that's what's coming.
Yeah. I just downloaded the audiobook for The Unhoneymooners when you guys made that announcement so that I could listen to it right before going into that one. I'm really excited.
I loved The Unhoneymooners. I remember...
it might have been the first one we talked about.
I think it,
Lauren,
might have been you and I together. Yes.
Yeah. That we're like, oh, how much do you love that?
It was so long ago too. And I just remember, I don't even remember what part it was, but I remember laughing so hard. I was reading in bed and I was laughing so hard. I couldn't breathe. literally couldn't breathe, tears streaming down my face. My husband's like, are you okay? And I'm like, and then trying to read it to him, and he's just like, you're not gonna get it.
That's the first book that my husband had read of ours in a while. He had read some other stuff, but he had listened to the audiobook, and at one point he goes, you guys are really funny. And I was like,
hello, we've been married for 20 years.
Thanks. great. I love that one.
Speaking of funny, I was cracking up every time River kept his timing in this book when he would walk into a room as Fizzy would drop some kind of comedy.
Oh my God, just, that was my favorite
turn around
thing.
And
he would just make a U-turn. He's like, nope.
Yeah.
Don't want to hear this.
I could just see it so clearly in my head.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Just he's like that. With the drinks and everything's
U-turn.
So funny. Oh my gosh. We talked to Kate Claiborne recently about Georgie All Along.
And we were talking. I love that book.
It was fantastic. We both loved it. And we were asking her what she'd read lately and stuff.
Yeah.
And so she, of course, mentioned this one that she was super excited about. Aww. And we had just both gotten it, but hadn't read it yet. And she was like, okay, listen, you have to DM me when you get to the hotel scene.
The hotel scene. I know. She's so cute.
And we were like.
And I did.
I did.
I started that night.
Did you DM her? You did?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I did. Yeah, we went back and forth a little bit. I was like, oh my gosh.
It was funny I took this book. You can actually see I'm going to have to buy a new copy. It got a little wet. I brought it on vacation with me.
That's how romance books should look. I'm sorry. Yep. They should be warped from the beach.
Yes. So
I brought this one and Cheryl was reading it before me. And I was like, how far in is the hotel scene? I'm like, shoot, I was like, all right, I got to hurry up and get to the hotel scene. So she was like, it's in there, you know, like you got to, yep. You know? So I was like, all right, I'm going. So I did, I sat and read it in like a day.
Oh, yay. I love that.
I got a little worn. I'm going to, and it's the ARC. So I love having the ARC, but I also love having like the
hardcover. Yeah. Yes. So the finished cover is so beautiful. It's like, it's just got the most like gorgeous embossing and
look at, ooh.
With the I know. It's so pretty.
I'll have to get that trophy for my shelf.
I know. Yeah. That's really what they are, right? You know, I love like displaying them and owning it. So, yes. The hotel.
I read a lot. So then, I have to get the book trophies.
So then.
For the ones I know I want to go back to.
Yeah. So Kate gave us some, I love asking authors this question, like what you, because also every time you guys endorse a book, like on a cover or in like where, you know, when, if you're looking like on Amazon or if it's
like when it's giving it a blurb.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I just bought this one in part because.
Oh, I love Alicia.
Blurb on there.
So I want to know what books you've read recently. I have my pen and paper. I want to know what books you've read recently that you'd recommend or that you think are great. We should write down and add to our never ending TBR.
Do you want specifically romance or anything that we've been loving?
Honestly, anything. I mean, I've been getting into a little mystery, which is very, or thriller, which is very not norm for me.
I got you. Okay. So I'm sure everybody's read Lessons in Chemistry, but that was my favorite book last year.
I have not yet.
Lauren. We both have it and haven't read it yet.
It's so wonderful. Please. That was my favorite book of last year.
Ah, okay.
Followed closely by Tomorrow and Tomorrow Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin.
I just saw that one
in my bookstore.
Okay. Yep. And then I also last year loved Horse by Geraldine Brooks. It's sort of the history of a racehorse back in the 1800s and the grooms, the African-American former slave grooms that worked with the horse and sort of the class commentary / storytelling about like the white plantation owners / racetrack owners / you know, and the people who care for these animals. It was really, really beautiful. And I just started, I'm about halfway through a book called Hidden Valley Road. And it's about this family. It's a nonfiction. It's about the Galvin family. It is a mother and father who had 12 kids, 10 boys and 2 girls. And 6 out of the 10 boys were schizophrenic, developed schizophrenia. And so it's sort of about like, how this family, and the kids were born between 1945 and 1965. So they like totally straddle like Second World War through baby boomers. And sort of how like the culture and the field of psychiatry at the time framed what schizophrenia was, how the family handled it, but then also kind of more importantly, how this family contributed to what we know about the genetics of schizophrenia, because that's something that's been really hard to study. And it's a really, really good book. So those are my recommendations.
Cool. Mm-hmm. What about you, Christina?
Well, speaking of schizophrenia,
that's right.
I'm reading I Know This Much Is True by Wally Lamb. It's like 900 pages, so I'll be reading it for a while.
Wow. Okay.
But it's Lo's favorite book. So, and I was reading it for a class. So I really love it. And then I'm listening, because I'm usually like reading one and listening to one.
Geraldine.
I also started reading Love Theoretically. That's what, by Allie Hazelwood, who we like adore.
Me too.
Let's see what else. Pack Up the Moon by Kristen Hannah is my audiobook that I'm listening to right now. And then if you just started reading thrillers, I tell everybody my favorite thriller is called My Lovely Wife by Samantha Downing. And they're just such terrible, terrible characters. There's like no redeeming qualities, but she writes them so fascinating that you still are like rooting for them. You really want, it's about this couple who keep the spice alive by killing people.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. But also her next book that we blurbed is called A Twisted Love Story. And that was such a fangirl moment when we got asked to blurb that, because I tell everybody, I'm like, read My Lovely Wife. So that's coming out this summer, I think.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everyone's been chatting about The Housemaid recently. I feel like that's going around. So I read that one. And then I think it must have been like a book talk thing. Everyone also was talking about The Perfect Marriage.
Oh, mm-hmm. I think we read that last year. It's by the Greer Hendricks and Sarah Beckett. No, that's The Golden Couple.
That's The Golden Couple. Yeah.
No, who's The Perfect Marriage by? Hold on, I'll look it up. It was so wild, and like you don't find out until the last page.
I
was
I love Rose. Books like that. Like, shock me, please.
Yeah. Geneva Rose is the author. I literally, I was like, the last page. Like, literally the last page.
Oh my God, I have this. I have this.
Yes. So it was like circulating and I kept seeing it. And then after I read The Housemaid, it popped up on my Kindle. It was on Kindle Unlimited.
Oh, it's Kindle Unlimited still.
Yes. Yes, which I love. It popped up and I was like, okay. But oh my God. Yeah. And I was like, I literally can't put it down. Like, cannot put it down. And basically it's a husband and wife. The husband is accused of murder and the wife is a lawyer and he's accused of murdering his mistress. And his wife is his lawyer on the trial.
Oh my God. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah. So like super twisty. Anyway, wild. So
wild. I love domestic thrillers. I am very excited about this.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm going to have to look that one up. Yeah. It was just like a different, I was proud of myself for like, branching out a little bit. And I was like, yeah, oh, okay. So I'll have to look these up too. I don't know, something a little switch.
Oh my God. I love it. I love like, sometimes you just need a good book. Like, even though our TBR stacks are like as tall as we are, sometimes you just need that book that someone's like, read this one now, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why our TBRs are never ending. Cause books keep jumping the line.
Yep.
Always. That's true. They do. I know. I was able to like shrink mine a little bit and then just replaced those. So I'm like, okay, it's fine. Yep. It's fine.
It's There's a very good problem to have.
Exactly.
It is.
Oh my goodness. Well, we truly loved Fizzy's book. Cheryl, was there anything else you wanted to add? I know you said you had some questions, but I just wanted
we've talked about a lot of stuff. I've love chatting with you guys. I feel like we could chat about books for a long time.
I know. I kept forgetting that we were doing a podcast and I was like, oh, right. We're like,
you know. I know. I got my phone. I'm like, oh, I think I have that.
We do that all the time here though. You know, just like super, we wanted to feel like you're just having a cup of coffee or glass of wine or whatever. I mean, it's early for Cheryl, but yes, mimosa, whatever it might be with your friends, but truly loved this one so much. Just loved the whole concept. It was so funny and obviously loved how it ended and their titanium matches. What were Jess and River?
They were diamond.
So titanium's above
diamond? No, it's below. But it doesn't, the thing it's is, it right doesn't there. Like once you're like titanium, it doesn't really matter. Like you're made for each other, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
I read was so it 88% or something? And that's always, I need to like, Cheryl's really good about that. I'm always like, I said to myself, I'm like, I should reread Soulmate Equation and then go right into this one. And I didn't do that. So
that's okay. I mean, there's enough. I think even if you hadn't read Soulmate Equation, you can still read this one because we do try and give you context for what the technology is and who Jess and River are. That's all you need, you know?
Yeah. So. Yes. Yes. True. But I love to, you know,
I know
to, especially if there's like little Easter eggs or like, you're like, oh, that's right. From that book. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just good. But I also loved seeing River and Jess and Juno now and, you know, how they are in their life together. That was extra fun too. Right.
Yeah.
So that's why it's always good to, I just love that. I love kind of getting a little bit more when
you get more of a glimpse of their happily ever after. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Like the scene where River comes to pick up Juno at this, you know, when she's at Fizzy's and she's all sleepy and you know what I mean? It's just so cute. Or it's just, I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah.
So, yeah. this is a good one.
Yeah. I'm just scanning my list of highlights from the book. And it's like, it's probably 25% of the book.
Oh, yay.
Like there's so much. And even just like, as I'm scanning it right now, I'm like, laughing to myself.
See, that's the benefit of reading on Kindle or some kind of e-reader.
The ebook. Yeah.
I'm not you can as like good about...
it's easier to go back and look at your highlights.
I'm not as good about that, like but I also love having the actual book. You know what I mean? But then I'm not as good about like highlighting or marking the page. I didn't have my little tabs when I was on vacation, but it's okay. It was,
you need, that's why you need both.
Yeah,
I know.
And the audiobook. So you can just like, when it's time to go and walk the dog, you can just like keep going.
Whisper sync. So smart.
I just scanned past the where Busy says to Jess, I have a taste for them now. I am a hunter.
I'm a hunter.
Like, like James in Twilight.
Yeah. Exactly like that.
And, which I love because we know, of course, you guys met writing Twilight fanfic. Yeah. Me and Lauren were both big Twihearts. I've actually feel like we've seen a little resurgence lately. In,
yes,
like,
because they're making the TV show.
I guess that's why.
Well, they're going to make a Twilight TV show. I'm like, I am here for it. I'll take any and all content. Come
what?
On, bring the family back together.
Wait, I just the same cast?
No.
Oh, they're two. They'd have aged.
Rob would never.
Not supposed to age.
Rob would never.
No, probably not. Oh my goodness.
I just sent Lauren this video that was like,
I got to go back
woman
and watch.
Reenacting the baseball scene, and she plays all the parts.
Oh my God, yes.
It's
I love
so
it so much.
Funny. I think
I've seen that one. That is brilliant.
But it I was there. So I was like,
good. The expressions were right on.
The baseball scene.
I know. It was like, Lauren, the baseball scene.
I know.
Like, I can hear so every long. Time I hear a supermassive black hole, I'm like, dum.
Okay. So I went and saw Muse recently with my husband. We saw them in concert a couple weekends ago. And like, when they played Supermassive Black Hole, I like recorded the whole thing for Christina. And that was
you
like, the audience was going nuts. So you could tell there were a lot of people that were like, in there, but
yeah. I love it.
So funny. It's been so long since I've seen them. I need to go back and like, there's so much information in my head that I swear, like my brain just like dumps them out so that I just have no recollection. Do you know what I mean? I
swear mm-hmm.
that's what it does. So I do. I should probably just have like a Twilight marathon by myself.
Ooh,
fine. You fully support this.
I know.
Should like live chat it or something.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you guys for chatting with us. Super pumped for the Honeymoon Crashers.
August 1st.
I'm immediately going to download and listen. You said full cast. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. And everything else that you have coming. Cheryl, like she's going to be at Steamy Lit Con. You guys are going to be there, which sounds awesome. Super fun. I can't guarantee I'll be there. I'm going to see what I can do. But
Disney.
I know. It does. Yeah. It looks like a fun time. It honestly looks like a dream conference. Like
mm-hmm. It's across the street from Disneyland.
I know.
Like, that's all you needed to tell me.
That was actually
I've already booked myself on the August 16th. I'm going to be at Disneyland.
That was actually her. She was like, Lauren, it's across the street from Disneyland. Like, just bring your whole family. And I'm like, I would totally do that. And they just opened the Universal, right? Just opened a Super Mario World.
Mm-hmm. I think, yes,
right?
They did.
Yep. Over there too. So my kids would be like, hell yeah. But
I know. It's a lot. It's anymore. Across the country.
It is.
It's not like driving down the street. No, it's a big deal. So,
I gotta try. But I'm like, oh my gosh, like all these amazing authors in one. That's literally.
It looks amazing.
Yes. Yeah. So maybe.
Can we see on your guys' website, do you have a list of your whole book tour for Fizzy's book?
Yeah. So we are hitting a bunch of fun places. We're hitting Plainville, which is outside of Boston, New York City, Tampa, Nashville, St. Louis, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Ames, Iowa, Fort Collins, Colorado, and Austin, Texas. So, we'll be at the Ripped Bodice in LA with Ava Wilder on July 22nd. Uh-huh. And we're probably maybe going to be doing an event with somebody that everybody loves before Steamy Lit, but we'll see. But we'll be at Steamy Lit.
Ooh, so, great.
Awesome. I'm going to try my hardest to get over there. We'll see. We'll report back. All right. So if you guys have not already read their latest book, it's The True Love Experiment. And it's fantastic. But I feel like if you're listening, you probably already read it.
It's going to be on release day episode.
Yes, to our True Love Experiment episode. And we'd love to have you guys back sometime soon.
It was so fun. We always love talking to you. You guys are the best.
Thank you. We love that too. And everyone can follow you on Instagram at Christina Lauren. And keep up with what you guys have going on there. So thank you again for being on here, and hopefully we'll see you guys. We'll chat with you when that other, the next one comes out.
Excellent. I love that plan. awesome. Thank you.
All right. We'll chat with you guys soon. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Bye.
Bye.